Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of the Cure Talks Cancer podcast. Each week, we'll be hearing from patients, survivors, caregivers, or healthcare professionals to do what Cure does best, provide cancer updates, research, and education. Today we'll be hearing from Maria Falzoni, a safe sex educator and comedian who vowed not to let advanced cancer get in the way of her sense of humor. Maria discusses how cholangiocarcinoma changed her life and gave her a completely new outlook.
I'll start by asking about your diagnosis with cancer, what type of cancer it is, and when that happened.
Okay, so I think it was last year, because this has been a year ago, in June or July, I was diagnosed with a rare form of liver cancer. It's cancer of the liver bile duct, and it's called cholangiocarcinoma.
You've kept your sense of humor throughout this. You've worked as a comedian for a long time. Why do you think you've been able to keep your sense of humor about this?
Well, it's who I am. It's just a natural, it's naturally who I am. Like when I went to meet the surgeon and I just made jokes and he said, oh my God, he said, you are so refreshing. He says, most people come in here and they're morbid and they're upset. And I said, well, I understand all that stuff, but that's not going to get me anywhere, you know, like that. And that's not to say that there's not moments that I have great sadness and I don't cry. And then I just think, no, you can wait until you're really sick to have those feelings. But right now you're alive and make the best of it. You know, you have the energy to enjoy life, so just enjoy life. And I just think life is one big joke anyway. And this is just the biggest cosmic joke.
Maybe you can talk about the treatment first.
Yes. I was diagnosed and the oncologist had recommended, and he said that the success rate, they were having a high success rate, was at first they had to be surgery because the tumors were really large. They were pretty big, and so they had to be removed no matter what. So they removed them, and then I did I think about 4 months of chemotherapy, and there was no radiation involved or anything like that. So I did 4 months of radiation. My first set of scans were clear. I felt great. And then about May, I didn't feel that. I kept saying to my daughter, something just doesn't feel right. And I had just had this feeling that it was back. And I went for my 6-month follow-up. And when I went to see the oncologist, he was crying. And I was like, I didn't want to see you. I've been dreading talking to you. And I said, I know it's back. And he said, how'd you know? And I said, I didn't feel well. And I said, so from two, I now have five tumors in my liver within a year period. So I said, well, what are my options? And there aren't that many options. You know.
So he offered more chemo? Did he offer a clinical
trial?
I
then went to Hopkins, right, because I had just moved to Baltimore, and Hopkins is an incredible hospital. And I met with someone, and I could do 6 months of chemo with a guarantee of 6 months. And so I don't want to feel like shit, basically, for another six months. So I just figure I'm just going to enjoy this as much as possible.
But so at this point, if you don't do a clinical trial, if you don't do chemo, what are they telling you?
Every 2 months. And if it gets to the point where, you know, my body is starting to, then I will then be switched over to a palliative care team.
Let me ask a couple things just about your everyday life. You said that you have a daughter. So what's your everyday life been like? You know, who are the people that you're close to? Who's in your family?
I have a 19-year-old who's really amazing, and she just started school at UC San Diego. So she was born in California, and we made the mistake of saying to her, when you choose your university, decide where you want to spend your weekends. And I was hoping she would think Boston, because that's where I'm originally from. And you know what? If I had the choice of California and San Diego, I would have chosen San Diego. So she's at UC San Diego. And I have a brother who lives in Massachusetts. And I am just so blessed to be surrounded by friends, like just amazing, incredible friends. Like right now, I'm at the Jersey Shore because I just invited all my friends to the beach. I rented a house on the Jersey Shore. And I said, I'm not going to spend, if I only have 4 to 6 months, I'm not going to spend it going to visit people. You can all come see me.
That sounds great.
Yeah. So that's what I'm doing. And then I just rented a house out in the high desert of California for the month of January. And then all my California friends will come out and visit me in California. And a friend of mine just offered me her houseboat for the month of February in Redondo Beach. So nice. It looks more and more like I'm going to be moving towards California, especially where they have, you know, assisted suicide is legal. So end of life is legal there. So I'll probably do something there.
And so I read that that you've been traveling around as well and trying to kind of tie up loose ends, meet with various people that you've known over the years. And can you talk a little bit about those?
Yeah, well, I'm going to, there's this trip. And then I just went to Southeast Asia with my brother, celebrated the Full Moon Festival in Thailand. And then I had a stopover in Hong Kong. So my friend from San Francisco flew out to meet me in Hong Kong. And I just want to say I can say all of this because I sold a house and I have, all of this money that I'm not buying another house. Because as soon as someone tells you you only have 4 to 6 months to live, then your choices are really different. Because I saw him on a Friday. On Monday, I was going to put an offer in on a house in California. And he said to me, I know I'm an oncologist. I'm not a financial planner. My suggestion is don't make any big financial decisions. Then, all right, I have a half. And I could have been, I can't. And I go, all right, I have a $500,000 to blow in 6 months. How can I spend it? All right, business class, and I'm just going to travel. Drop my kid off at college. And I thought, I'm not going to cry at home. Why not cry on the beach of Thailand?
Right.
You know? So that's what I did. I'm crying, you know, I just cried on, oh, look at that sun. That was basically my experience. So just the way that I make my choices are really different. So the house here, the house out in California, if I'm feeling well, I don't know. It's just really month by month.
You are also spending part of this time trying to reach out to others, even people you don't know, like our audience here.
Yes.
And why are you taking some of this really important time in your life to give to others?
Right. That's a really great question, right? So I'm a public speaker, and I'm a stand-up comedian, and I have been doing the Safer Sex lecture for over 20 years, committed to ending the shame and suffering around sex, right? Because sex is in the dark in our country. And there's a lot of shame, I think, and there's a lot of suffering around a cancer diagnosis, right? I think people don't realize that you have a choice. You don't have a choice in getting cancer. Nobody chooses cancer. You know, and I thought, well, I have it, and what am I going to do now? How am I going to be? I have a choice in how I'm going to be with my cancer, you know, and I always lived a life of no regrets. So I thought, okay, if I only have 4 to 6 months, what's important to me that as I'm dying, that I can really just go with peacefully? Like, how can I go peacefully? And this is the last bit. This is the last bit. Saying to young people, they've done an amazing job when it comes to sex and sexuality and acceptance of sex and sexuality, and there's just a little bit more to do, and maybe that can live on before I go ahead and pass. I'm committed to, you know, as I go, that I can go peacefully, and that would be just the one last piece. Cancer's been a gift because I get to go ahead and really appreciate life and value life. You know, it's like if you have a house full of antiques, after a while, they're just a house full of antiques. And as they start to go, you think, oh my goodness, I'm really treasuring life. I don't have time. I'm more honest and direct with people. So, my level of gratitude and value has gone up. And originally when I had the statistics and I knew about the statistics of cholangiocarcinoma, it was 5 years, you know, like the chances of, you know, 5 years. And then when you're told, you know, it 4 to 6 months, anything after 4 to 6 months will be a gift. However, I'm operating out of, I have 4 to 6 months. So really everyone that I know knows that I love them. There's not a doubt. And I'm complete. You know, as soon as I got cancer, I had been divorced, and I still had resentment towards my husband, and I'd really worked at trying to forgive him, because, you know, there had been infidelity in the marriage. And I remember laying there, and I couldn't get up because I was just so tired. And I thought, you know, this is it. It's just time for you to let this go. It punishes me. It doesn't punish him. And I just want to have a life that's free and peaceful and full of love. And I can't have a life full of love if I'm not loving. And, you know, he had come to pick up our daughter, and I just looked at him and I said, I want you to know that I love you and I forgive you for everything that happened, you know. And I played a part in that. I hope that you can forgive me too. So it was those kind of conversations that you put off, and you find a million reasons not to have those conversations that I now had to have so I could clean up my life. So that if I did have a thought about somebody, it was like, oh man, they are just so awesome. So I'm pretty much complete with everybody in my life, and I don't think I would have done that if I hadn't been diagnosed with cancer. So that's a huge gift.
Join us next week when we speak with patient advocate Stephanie Saban and Dr. Patrick Borgen about CURE's first ever patient-focused meeting being held at the 2019 Miami Breast Cancer Conference.
The CURE Talks Cancer podcast is the official podcast of CURE Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter at @cure_magazine.